It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it's Thursday, which means it is on the radio on your community radio station, WTZQ. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, and happy to be back virtually and another Lightning Thursday.
That's right. Bill, let's get to it, because we've got a lot to cover today. There's a lot in this week's Lightning, as there usually is. A lot of coronavirus coverage. So let's start with something that we also used in our local news this morning, thanks to the Hendersonville Lightning. And the headline right here on the front page, spared a coronavirus surge, hospitals are beginning to reopen for business.
Yep, exactly right, Mark. And I want to make one note. As we have been talking about for now, we can say 8 full years. Guess what's on the very top where it says volume 9, issue one. So we are launching into year 9 of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com when they said we wouldn't make it for 9 days, 9 weeks, or 9 months. So here we are. And the reason I open with that is that, you know how we often say that the Lightning is able to spot trends because the Lightning is not, we don't really have that many reporters that are split up all thinking independently. I tend to cover the city, the county, even Asheville in a case like this. And the trend we spotted made up this front page story that says, spared a coronavirus surge, hospitals are beginning to reopen for business. And this all has come together over the last week or so of covering virtually, of course, Zoom meetings with Jay Kirby, the president CEO of Party UNC Health here, of covering Dr. Teresa Herbert, who is the chief medical officer or medical director, I think it is, of Advent Health out in Fletcher, and also Mission Hospital. CEOs of all three of these major regional hospitals that cover Henderson and Buncombe counties have been saying over the last 6 or 7 days that we really did not get the surge. You can credit or blame. You can blame the modeling and credit the reaction. You can credit the stay-at-home orders. You can imagine. I don't think anybody really knows for sure. And let me put in the caveat that no one is saying stop staying home. No one is saying relax the measures that have seemingly resulted in a much flatter curve of community spread than was originally projected back a little over a month ago. The story, in fact, opens with we just decided to go back and re-listen to that really kind of that dramatic meeting on the morning of Friday, March 27, when Jay Kirby very directly, very emphatically, and seemed dramatically at the time to warn of these 500, not 500 cases, but 500 admissions. 500 admissions. That's the important word to Party Hospital. Well, it turned out that the admissions, and this is a good thing, to be this wrong, but for, like I say, a variety of reasons, many of them unknowable, they fell short of that by 484. Jay Kirby himself told that the post-COVID committee looking at how to kind of reopen the county for business said to the business, don't change anything that you're doing, but don't be so scared that you become paralyzed, because we have people working day in and day out in this hospital who have only seen 16 people come into this hospital with COVID who have been admitted. So that was important. I think one day earlier, Dr. Teresa Herbert, who I mentioned, told the Land of Sky weekly COVID-19 response update that we are moving at Advent from containment to recovery. And she kind of spoke for what was going on, since they all talk and know what's going on, of Party and of Mission, saying, Right now, we're not seeing a lot of community spread. This is Dr. Herbert speaking. The ICU right now has very few patients. That's Advent, Pardee, quote, is in the same situation. There is not a lot of community spread right now. That has really saved lives. If you look down at Greenville County, she goes on, things are very different. The hospitals are very busy. And of course, we know that South Carolina has had a much more relaxed sort of public health and response from the governor and stay home orders than North Carolina has had. And then finally, we go, we swing back over to Pardee and speak with Dr. David Ellis, the medical director. And he describes how the curve of admissions in patients in ICU and ventilator use has been much flatter than they prepared for. A good thing, he said, we must continue. And he goes on to explain how because they've caught up pretty much on plenty of capacity on personal protective equipment, masks, gloves, goggles, and gowns, that they're able to resume elective surgery, same with Mission. And then finally, we have the Mission CEO saying that Mission had just over 20 inpatients with COVID-19 throughout the entire health system, which is all their different hospital facilities around Western North Carolina, throughout that entire system as of late April. Hmm. So that pretty much put all in one place this changing landscape a little bit. I think the medical personnel and public health people would warn me not to, would warn anybody talking about this not to, again, not to say relax, go outside and get less than 6 feet from one another. Not that at all. But they're saying that seems to have worked. Maybe the models were high. We're seeing that statewide that seemingly the models were high. But that's that story.
So that's good to see. It's very good news, ultimately, that they're beginning to reopen for business. I know that all the hospitals were affected greatly financially. So that's good to hear. But more on the coronavirus also story, and you've got it at the top of the page here, and it's on page two. And that's the health department upgrading that COVID-19 dashboard.
Yeah, much more robust, very colorful, very a lot more fancified. This is actually a template that I think we talked either last week or week before. Days and weeks run together now.
Yeah.
the Lightning Scoop that kind of analyzed the, at that time, 14 counties that had more than 100 cases. Henderson County had the 10th most, but the highest mortality rate in the state, and that is almost completely attributable to our demographic and the fact that, in fact, all, I think the number is 16. When I last knew of the number at 14 or 15, the county and party and everyone was still saying every single one of those was affiliated with a long-term nursing facility or a long-term congregate living type of facility. But what this, the reason I mention that is we then, in the course of investigating, looking into those 14 counties, we looked at every single one of those counties' websites, and we found this template. Several counties around the Charlotte region seem to be using it, and it is a really good one. It's got pie charts. It's got a color. It's got a zip code map in color. Of the county zip codes and the prevalence of cases in each zip code. And it's, of course, it's got the total number of cases. This is, again, as I say, very apropos of Henderson County. It's got the number of those cases affiliated with a long-term care facility, and it's got the death toll.
Yeah, that template is very similar to the one that people started looking at the very beginning of all this, the one on the John Hopkins website. It's very similar to that template.
Yeah. Maybe that's the trunk of the tree that started all this.
Yeah, it's real interesting, but that is a great resource there, without a doubt. Speaking of resources, the county has gotten together with some folks in the community about trying to set some guidelines for the reopening of Henderson County and Hendersonville for business. You've got some of that story here, too.
That's exactly right, Mark. And we mentioned that in the context of the first story. That
yeah.
says, okay, If we have successfully flattened that curve, pushed it out, this is not to say it won't come. They're not saying a spike like they were saying a month ago. They're not saying a spike of that magnitude, even if there is one later on in June, July, on down the road, and certainly next fall. But about a week or no, a couple weeks ago now, the county put together this 22-member panel of business owners, the county commissioners did, appointed that, and they have worked now for three meetings, and they really wrapped up their work in a meeting yesterday. So they, the committee, this is some coverage from last week. Stay tuned to HendersonvilleLightning.com for more coverage of what they did in their meeting yesterday. But they came out with a nine-bullet point set of recommendations, I guess, for when, if they would open, sort of soft open, cautiously open in this climate, maintain social distancing, wear personal protective equipment, implement daily ongoing sanitation processes, limit personal contact for the protection of employees and customers, use screening practices, implement continuous hand washing, and other kinds of sanitation, review functions to identify innovative ways to reduce the risk of infection, post requirements for customers at the entry of the business, and monitor any changes in regulations issued by federal, state, or local governments. And like I say, we had some meetings. There's a little bit of a pushback during the meeting Wednesday with some of the business owners and some of the business community leaders saying that this committee that was seemed to have been designed and set up with the purpose of how do we reopen was actually, or at least not the committee, but the county was actually recommending some measures that seemed to be even stricter than those coming from the state. So their point was, well, if this is all about reopening, why are you making it tougher for us to reopen than even some state and federal guidelines? So there was pushback in that meeting, and look for more coverage of that, as I say, in HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Well, and that is interesting. One of the things we've talked about, Bill, and I think we talked about this last week, is the fact that the counties don't have the power to decide when businesses reopen. That's still ultimately the governor. And from what we can tell is you can be more strict if you want to. You just can't be less strict than what the governor has already laid out.
You certainly can be more strict. We've seen that in Buncombe. We've seen it. We've seen it actually in pieces of Henderson County's response. Which they ended up pulling back some things that were more strict, and then they aligned more with the governor's emergency order. The real estate realtors and the real estate industry was one example of that. They had not, Henderson County had not managed to deem real estate sales as essential until the governor's order came along, which granted was only 4 hours later, and Henderson County came back and designated that industry as essential. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Can be more strict. You cannot be less.
And it will be interesting to hear from the governor at the end of next week, I guess, to see if we're able to get out of the stricter stay-at-home order and go to phase one of reopening. And if we do go into phase one of reopening, he said that would mean some other retail businesses would be able to open. It'll be interesting to find out what exactly of those retail businesses would be able to reopen.
Yeah, exactly right, Mark. A week from tomorrow, on Friday, May 8th, is when the extended emergency stay-at-home order expires, if that is not indeed extended. And you're right, be very interesting to take a look at that news announcement.
Yeah, because we'll have to have 14 days, I guess, of declining numbers in order for us to reach into phase one. And phase one is not a whole lot less strict than where we are right now. So that's going to be interesting.
It is. That's exactly right. It is not. And we extended out the, when they said something like 2 to 3 weeks and 4 to 6 weeks, we extended that out to we reported last week, that means we'll be under some restrictions through July 10 if it's the longest of all the options for each phase.
Right. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to get that announcement. And remember, we'll be carrying the governor's announcement live here on WTZQ, so keep it tuned here. We also want to remind you that you'll be hearing more from officials from Pardee and Advent Health in the coming days here on WTZQ about them slowly starting to reopen. And believe it or not, there is some silver lining in the coronavirus clouds. We'll be talking about that as we come back. We'll take a break right now from Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss from Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita Authorized Service Repair Center.
All right, you there?
Yeah, okay.
Right, we got silver lining, we've got chalk talk.
Yeah.
And we got to cover the cedars too, right?
Well, that's what I was just going to say too. We got to skip through this next. It's really four, but I can just say read your lightning first.
Okay. I'll let you lead me then. I'll say, let's talk silver lining. I'll let you lead me on that, and then we'll move into the cedars.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll pitch it back to you to say, let's talk about a couple stories. We got that and the deck overlooking rhododendron that might have to be taken out. So we can say, let's talk about a couple of non-coronavirus, believe it or not, non-coronavirus coverage.
All right, great. All righty, here we go.
Call 693-8276 or email tempomusic99@yahoo.com. Keaton and the folks at Toby's Mattress Superstore say thank you to our first responders and healthcare workers as we continue to feel the impact of the current crisis. They are on the front lines and deserve our thoughts and prayers. Toby's also wants you to know they are open by appointment and providing curbside home delivery for your convenience. Call 698-0054. There is a closeout sale going on right now on select Serta and Sealy floor models as they make room for new merchandise. Call Toby's Metro Superstore at 698-0054 for questions and purchases.
And we are back with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com for Lightning Thursdays here on the queue. And Bill, as we talked about just a moment ago, let's talk about some of the silver linings in the coronavirus clouds that you are covering for this week's Lightning.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. A whole half page summarizes with the silver lining in the coronavirus clouds. And, you know, our ongoing feature that we launched, I don't know, a year or two ago, called Good Job Needs Work. Well, we have a special coronavirus silver lining edition of Good Job Needs Work, and it opens with Sally Carr and the great Haywood Forest neighborhood all doing chalking it up, you might say.
Yeah.
A chalk talk followed by a chalk walk, which has turned into a huge outdoor cocktail party and neighborhood get together, 6 feet apart, but together in heart kind of thing. So that was the big one. We got Good Job that Dolph Diamond not only has a great name, he had a great idea, and that was the idea to open the Interfaith Assistance Ministry stimulus check challenge by saying, I don't really need my $1,000 stimulus check, but I know who does, and thus started the IAM stimulus check challenge. We got Good Job on the contractors doing the $60 million renovation, new construction of Hendersonville High School. They face a tight timeline, Mark, with little wiggle room to get everything done for a ribbon cutting in August 2023. They would not have attempted something as big and potentially hazardous as the demolition and clearing of the old 1937 historic granite gym, became the practice gym there, which will be replaced. They would not have been able to do that, but with the children not on campus, they were able to do it. So that moved them ahead of schedule that they would not have been able to do. So a little silver lining there. And then finally, did you know the Blue Ridge Parkway is closed for 76 miles from the French Broad River overlook to the southern terminus?
I did, only because I've looked at HendersonvilleLightning.com.
But then let me add, closed, that is, to motor vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Open, bicyclists and hikers. So on Sunday, the parking lot was full, where you could get up to a parking lot and then close gates on either side there at US 276. And it was filled with young families, retirees, and every age in between on foot. and on two wheels. It all had one thing in common, Mark. You know what it was?
Tell me.
A smile on their face.
How about that? How about that?
So we go on from there to, and then you see, Get Your Lightning. You'll see separate stories on everything we just talked about, the stimulus check, the chalk talk, even the stay-at-home order forces some changes in popular downtown events. Rhythm and Brews is pushed out at a week at this point. Whether it actually makes June, who knows for sure, but instead of opening in, I think it's usually the third Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Instead of opening the first concert, instead of playing the first notes on the first concerts in May, that will be June, and it extends out now 1 month longer from September to October. And this year's Barefoot and Bear Art Walk Reveal will be a virtual edition.
That's right. The May concert was just moved to October, and then we'll cross our fingers to hope that we'll have a Rhythm and Brews coming up in June. That'll be great. That'll be a real silver lining, won't it? Hey,
we love that. We love that Rhythm and Brews.
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk about you want to talk about some non-coronavirus things?
Yes.
All right, let's do that. Here's something. I don't know if it's just the sign of the times of where we've been. We've all been stuck inside or whatever. But here's this story is one that almost kind of snuck up on, or at least kind of snuck up on me, and that's the Cedars turning into this huge lodge and spa. And you've got the story right here on the front page.
Oh my goodness! Yes. Yeah. Is it ever? Huge story if this were to come to pass. And
yeah.
In every interview I did, I was I pressed and was as emphatic as possible in asking the question, is it really still on? Is it still on? Is your financing not falling away? Is it? And they all Tommy Shipman and Fran Shipman and some other of the Cliff Shipman family that was such a good developer, investor, downtown presence, and elsewhere in the town. It's that family. Tommy and Fran have a son-in-law who's a developer, I think a pretty successful developer down in Miami, who's a part of the investor, and a friend and associate of that son-in-law is another investor, and I guess the family has property and assets, and I'm sure there's other lenders involved. I don't know the entire financial structure of the operation, but a huge 300-person conference room, a sports bar, hotel rooms, and condos that people could buy. And there's a terrific rendering of this. You can see, actually, I think either three or four renderings we have the pictures of on HendersonVilleLightning.com, but we've got what really is a nice looking one, very dramatic looking on page 5 on the jump. You'll see architect Tamara Peacock's rendering, and it shows the proposed Cedars and Lodge looking north from the corner of North Church Street and 7th Avenue West. And if people are wondering, well, what about the Cedars? It is surrounded by new brick buildings that look like it will blend in style and aesthetics and tone with downtown, historic downtown Hendersonville. But the Cedars survives. It not only survives, but it undergoes a major renovation. Just as now, that's where, of course, Tommy has that as a restaurant, or at least a catering dining place for weddings, business meetings, and so forth. That will be the restaurant for this whole complex as well. So it's really good news, and really a shout out, I would say, and kudos to the Shipmans for insisting. They had this on the market for close to 5 years, and a lot of people, developer-wise, that looked at it just wanted to clear everything, the Chariot. And, of course, the Chariot will go. That will be removed. They wanted to clear everything, including the Cedars, and Tommy Shipman and Fran Shipman would have no part of that. And Tamara Peacock has done a terrific job drawing this up so far, and boy, that's would be transformative.
Yeah, so it's a mixture of retail and condos and hotel and all of that, right?
Yes, it has a pool. It has what they describe as kind of a public plaza around the pool. There's a hot tub. I would guess that might just be open to condo owners and hotel guests, but it would be a place with a retractable sunroof, so it could be used by the public year-round.
Wow.
Lord knows we get enough rain around here to need that that retractable, to need that roof. But it just, if this comes to pass, it will be unlike anything, really, maybe unlike anything in the whole Western North Carolina region, up to and including Asheville. I don't know of anything quite like this in downtown Asheville. So really exciting.
Yeah, all you have to do is look at the rendering on your page, page 5 here, to see, because it's taking up basically a whole block, it looks like.
It's basically a block long and a block deep, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. People say, I had someone ask me, because it's not as big a piece of property as, I think it's about an acre and a half. It's in, we looked it up, I think it's 4 different parcels. And parking is another thing. The parking would be underneath. The Shipmans do own that parking lot across Church Street from the Chariot, so they have that if needed. But a lot of people looking at this say, well, that must take the Auto Bell car wash as well, but it does not. That's separate property, and they don't need it. And Tamara Peacock tells the Lightning that they don't need any variances. They don't need setback variances. They don't need height variances. It's already within the zoning code for all of those things.
Wow. And if I recall from the story, too, they were hoping to have already had, I think, a neighborhood compatibility meeting with this, but that's been postponed.
Yeah. Exactly right. And we have a story separately saying that in-person, you know, kind of broad-based, robust public hearings and information sessions on major developments, add that to your list of COVID-19 casualties. Because for now, those neighborhood compatibility meetings, which are a fairly new, by fairly new, I mean within the last few years, a fairly new element, a fairly new step to big major rezonings or developments, like the Hendersonville High School, of course, had to have one. The Gray Hosiery Mill would have one, and so forth. And this the big developments that's supposed to go around the annex, the post office annex out on Lakewood, would have also had a neighborhood compatibility meeting. For now, those are called off because there's no way the city thinks to reasonably and effectively do them by Zoom or some other electronic virtual means. So they'll still have planning board meetings. But you're right. The expectation pre-COVID-19 would have been a neighborhood compatibility event sometime like right now. Today or tomorrow with a the planning board meeting, that's the second Monday of the month. That could have taken place in May. It could have then gone on to the Hendersonville City Council in June. And they were on a fast track to think about, a groundbreaking in August. So
wow.
We'll see. It's pushed back some weeks or months. Don't be surprised. But that's where it stands at the moment.
Well, that's exciting and a major, major downtown development. So, like I said, all you got to do is see the rendering to see that.
It's a cliche, but fitting in this case, that rendering does tell 1,000 words.
Yes, it does. Bill, let's touch on one more non-coronavirus story, if we can, while we still have you here for Lightning Thursdays. And that's up in Laurel Park. Somebody up there is doing some work and has built a deck, and looks like that deck may have to come down. Tell us that story.
I'm afraid so. If you look, this is another actually good picture that pretty much tells a story. You can't really tell. You see a deck, and then you see the really nice walking trail that they have at Laurel Park's Rhododendron Lake Nature Park. And then you see the lake on the other side of that, which, of course, people walk around the lake on the walking trail. And there's great population of birds at that park there, by the way. But you can't tell that deck is either right on or really very close to the property line. And we talked about setbacks just a minute ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's in violation. There's supposed to be a 25-foot setback, and it's nowhere near 25 feet from the property line, meaning that the city of Laurel Park, it would either have to sell this property to the developer, a fellow from over in Asheville, I think it is, by the name of Cabot Young, or is not going to qualify for a variance that would be granted by the Zoning Board of Adjustment. And so that seemingly leaves an order from the town to remove the deck. But we'll see. It's still a story in progress.
Well, I love the quote that you have here in the story from Cabot Young, the developer of these apartments, where he says, "I'm from Maryville, Tennessee. We'll build decks wherever we want to," basically.
He was from the Sovereign Republic of East Tennessee, so where they build decks wherever they want to.
Yeah, but there are things called setbacks. So very interesting. It'll be interesting to find out what happens with the rest of this story. Well, Bill, there's plenty more in this week's Lightning. Please tell people where they can get their copy so they can make sure they are in the know with what's going on in our community.
Yeah, and more people seem to be attracted through the website. They want to read all the stories on HendersonvilleLightning.com. And we have this offer now that we've had since last July 17 called All Access, where, okay, you go ahead and get your digital sub, your subscription to read HendersonvilleLightning.com 24 hours a day, and you better pay attention 24 hours a day because it's updated almost that often these days, it seems like. And with that digital subscription, it's all access. So we'll send them a print copy of the Lightning as well, if they want. But you can go the traditional route, as some hundreds of people still are, and that is to go all around to any of the Lightning orange racks around the county, or, as I say, go right to the website and click on subscribe, or call Jan at 698-0407.
Thanks, Bill. Lightning Thursday, we do it every Thursday right here on your community radio station, WTZQ.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.